you know, customize basically the heart for or the organ for the patient.
The transplant is the first of its kind in the world and follows years of research. In the U.S. alone, about 110,000 people are currently waiting for an organ transplant. Also, more than 6,000 patients dies each year before getting one. A kingdom of ice and snow. Don't be surprised. It's an international sculpture festival held annually in the Chinese city of Harbin. This year, the venue brims with sports elements in a runner-up to the 2022 Winter Olympics scheduled in Beijing. The annual Winter Festival is the largest of its kind, where sculptors spend weeks using ice and snow to create structures under a given theme. The upcoming Winter Games is the theme this year, as one can visualize giant statues of Bing Duan Duan. The adorable panda mascots are major attractions of the exhibition. The chief designer says an ice tower standing in the center of the park features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics.
In terms of the design concept, the sculpture features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics to be held in Beijing. The spiral array form also indicated the proactive spirit of the Olympics. The free and upward effect is a vivid presentation of the Olympic flame.
The annual festival, which is being held for about 3 decades, usually attracts domestic and foreign tourists. But COVID-19 restrictions have limited the crowds over the past couple of years. Harbin is located in northeast China and receives cold winter wind from Siberia. An average winter temperature there is around minus 17 degrees Celsius.
South Koreans enjoy a wildlife refuge near the Korean Demilitarized Zone. New tours opened in November from the DMZ Crane Peace Town. Frank Smith has more in this report.
A new hiking trail and birdwatching facility opened up in South Korea this past November. DMZ Crane Peace Town created special birding cabins and guides wilderness hikes north of the 38th parallel, near the DMZ, the fortified border with North Korea. The Demilitarized Zone was created with the armistice that ended the Korean War back in 1953. Guard post fencing and a 2 to 4 kilometer wide buffer zone now separate North Korea and South Korea, with that no man's land becoming home to rejuvenated plant and wildlife. Local officials see wildlife tourism as an opportunity to promote inter-Korean peace.
Cranes know no borders. That's why we're promoting the crane as a symbol of peace, as they can freely come and go between North and South Korea.
Each winter, several species of birds, especially cranes, spend time to rest and feed in the area, where there's little development and few people. Officials say more birds have been coming here because of depleted feeding grounds in the north.
Sichuan has wide plains suitable for growing rice. Cranes eat the grain that has fallen after harvest, and it's the best place for cranes because it's located north of the civilian control line.
A safe vantage point to photograph the wildlife is provided at the Hantan River near Yangji Village, attracting birders from far afield.
I left home at 4 in the morning to come here to photograph wild birds, swans and cranes. It's good because there are many mallard ducks and other birds. They fight for food with each other, but it's fun.
Cranes are considered a sacred symbol of longevity and fortune here and designated a national monument. Frank Smith, Cheongwon County, South Korea.
In Germany, tasty bits of crumbs are all it takes for hundreds of sheep and goats to participate in the campaign to
to encourage vaccination against COVID-19. 700 farm animals were arranged into a 100-meter-long syringe in a pasture south of Hamburg. The shepherd says she spent several days practicing the herd. The sheep and goats were lured by pieces of bread, which they quickly gobbled up after being released into the field. Helping the shepherd was an organizer who works with a flock to run team training exercises for companies. He says they wanted to do something to grab people's attention and encourage them to get COVID jabs.
Well, if I were to just write it on Facebook, nobody would notice it. And my job is to have company teams leading some thousand sheep from A to B, and I have noticed how enthusiastically the sheep are received, and that it simply reaches people deep inside, which is perhaps not possible rationally, with rational arguments.
Ed Solt says sheep bring out the soft side of people and hopes that this will help convey the message. So far, the campaign has received a positive response, with videos of the sheep arrangements going viral. Official data shows Germany has the lowest inoculation rate among Western European nations. This is mainly attributed to vaccination hesitancy, as well as a small percentage who vehemently oppose getting the jab.
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره، همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم امر الله سبحانه الا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام من صارع الحق صرعه.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam stated, "Whoever clashes with truth would be knocked down by it."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. One of the things, dear friends, that we learn from the truly universal persona of this first divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, is the fact that this world is a temporary place. Every single one of us is born into this world, and every single one of us must die and leave this world. And when we leave this world, it is only to move on in this journey of life and this journey of existence, which leads us towards the hereafter, the eternal abode. Of course, the purpose of every single one of us in coming to this earth is to prove ourselves and to show the Almighty God that truly we are who we claim to be who we are. Meaning, if every single one of us claims that we are good and righteous, well, this is the testing ground. Are we truly good and righteous? And then we will be judged based upon this. Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he talks about this world, he talks about this dunya, this place of test, and he says, "Who can disparage this world after the world has warned its inhabitants, and after the world has declared its departure, and has mourned itself and its inhabitants? And this world urges an individual to give up and sacrifice the pleasures of this world for the sake of the pleasures of the hereafter. And this world requests us to accept the tribulations of this world for the sake of escaping the tribulations of the hereafter." So, dear friends, this is, of course, a statement which was said well over 1,000 years ago, but it clearly sounds off the alarm for every single one of us in this day and age. This world itself has warned us that it is going to betray us, that it is going to leave here, it won't join us in our graves. And likewise, this world has told us that if we sacrifice the pleasures that are temporary in this world, in return, God the Almighty will give us the pleasures and the satisfactions and the blessings of the hereafter. And likewise, the trials and tribulations and hardships that we bear in this world with patience for the sake of Allah, on the path of Allah, result in that we will escape the trials and the tribulations and the hardships of the hereafter. And so we must remember that this world is temporary. The trials and tribulations are temporary. The pleasures and satisfactions are temporary. And so why invest and work for something which is temporary? While on the other hand, the hereafter, a promise of Allah, a promise of God, one who surely fulfills His divine promise. The hereafter is eternal. And so, likewise, the trials and tribulations and hardships of the hereafter are eternal. May Allah save us from those trials and hardships. And the pleasures and satisfactions and blessings of the hereafter are also eternal. May Allah grant us those blessings. And so, in conclusion, why would we not work towards the hereafter? Why would we not work for the hereafter, one that is eternal and forever? And this world is the testing ground. It is the harvest from which we will yield a reward for the hereafter. A profound lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali
كل صبح وكل اشراق تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاق قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib this means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridvi.
What I would like to talk is about the method of studying Nahjul Balagha, because the focus is to know Amir al-Mu'mineen and his greatest, his fazilat of ilm, to get in touch with that knowledge, that sea of knowledge of Ali, and one way is to know what he said and what he wrote. And the most famous source is Nahjul Balagha. Now, when you study Nahjul Balagha, there are two ways of studying it. One is basically this, the sequence of the book. You start with the first khutbah, and then the second, and then the third, until you go to 240 or 39 khutbahs. Then you go to the second section, starting with the letters of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and then you end with the last one, which has the sayings of Amir al-Mu'mineen. But that's kind of a tedious way of looking at it. Another method of studying Nahjul Balagha is the thematic method, where you choose a topic and then study that topic in the various sermons and letters and sayings of the Imam. So you take a topic like Tawheed, for example, and you study whatever Ali has said in different parts of Nahjul Balagha about Tawheed. Or you look at the issue of justice, or taqwa, or charity, or imamat, and other things. The second method of Nahjul Balagha, which is the thematic approach, is actually more suited for the modern mind. You know, they want to be more focused on one topic, and that's what is appealing to them. Alhamdulillah, we have scholars who have done work on this. One of the greatest scholars of our time was Shaheed Murtaza Mutahiri. He actually has a book known as Sayri Dar Nahjul Balagha in Farsi, where he has selected different themes, and then he had studied Nahjul Balagha based on the themes that he has selected. For example, the first chapter is about the book and the compiler himself. Then he talks about theology and divinity, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Ali has to say. Then he talks about spirituality and the different levels of spirituality, how Amir al-Mu'mineen has presented this theme. Then he goes on to the chapter on governance and justice, how Ali, you know, viewed the system of government and the principle of justice in it. Then he has a chapter on Ahlul Bayt and Khilafat, whatever Ali has said about the issue of Khilafat and Ahlul Bayt. And then he comes to, you know, moral and ethical advice on different issues, ending with the issue of Zuhud. Zuhud means, you know, our relationship with dunya, with this world, and this tendency of being inclined towards materialism. And so this is a very, you know, good way of studying Nahjul Balagha, written by a contemporary Shia scholar of a very high status.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Brother Hasnain Rajab Ali.
I begin in Allah's name, the beneficent, the merciful, and all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this life, though we don't deserve to exist, for endowing us with too many graces and gifts by which you and I will never be able to understand nor to appreciate. But the mere fact that we recognize some of these mercies that Allah has given us, ظاهرةً وباطنة, as Allah says, that which you can see and that which you cannot see is sufficient enough for you and I to submit and to feel satisfied that there is a maker who has put us on this earth for a purpose and a function. It's very important for us to understand that God the Almighty considers us worthy to represent Him, and He has made us secondary, tertiary levels of khulafa, meaning we are leaders on earth, but our condition is that you and I need to promote good and forbid evil, for that is the main goal. And if you and I don't do that, which means that if you and I do not promote good and forbid evil, then that lack of such goodness starts to permeate our own psyche, and it starts to become self-destructive. And you'll find people who indulge in illicit misbehavior, or those who have, for example, mental health issues that teeters on this kind of misbehavior, particularly if you look at it with depression, when you look at it, for example, with people who are at the levels of being suicidal, or even on a day-to-day basis of people who are disruptive and sinners. Although I don't like to lump all these people in the same batch, I'm just giving the consequences of individuals who may have lived a life of not recognizing the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some, as you know, are congenital, some mental health issues, some forms of depression are not self-imposed. It could be environmental. And there are people on earth who are victims of abuse, who end up becoming very negative in life, not because they want to be negative, but the environment is so negative that they end up becoming victims of this horrible onslaught that makes them actually technically mustad'afin. Mustad'af are people who are oppressed, or as we say, the ones who have been denied their natural growth and grace. So tonight, we need to recognize that when Imam Hussein alayhi salam is going to Karbala in order to promote good and forbid evil, you know, ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that promote good and forbid evil. Every human being in the world knows that we should be doing that. What makes us wrong is when we define good and evil in the wrong ways. So you'll find evildoers will swear that they're doing good, you see. And the evildoers will swear that the good doers are doing evil. And then on the opposite side are the real good doers who will swear that the evildoers are evil. How do we know which one is right? We have to apply the standards of Allah, the Messenger, the Quran, the Ahlul Bayt, as the only means by which to understand what is good and what is evil. There is no other way for you and I to validate, because everything after that becomes conjectural talk. And once you embark on conjectural talk, conjecture starts to take on its own assumptions, which then takes on its own conclusions, which then ultimately becomes destructive, only for us to find out the destruction was actually too late, because now we've gone through this bad practice. And today we are suffering for what we call the challenges of the day. Some of it is natural. For example, you may have a weather pattern that causes a drought. And people, due to the natural forces of the weather patterns, that we end up suffering. Maybe there's a cold that comes, maybe because a meteor landed on Earth and caused the Earth's temperature to drop to a level where the body could not sustain. And we all suffered through it. And sometimes an entire nation became extinct because of that. That's one kind of a problem. But that's rare. If you look at the advancement of the human race today, that is rare. We have capabilities and capacities today to measure, okay, tsunamis that may appear, to measure on the Richter scale the earthquakes that may come. And that ability enables us to find ways by which to go against it. We can build homes today that resist earthquakes. We can build homes on high levels to resist and to protect ourselves from floods, for example. But you find the world today is suffering primarily from humankind causing their own harm. Allah says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيَ النَّاسِ. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. What is it? Fasad. What is fasad? Trouble. Problems. People committing sins has appeared on land and on the seas. By what? بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيَ النَّاسِ. By what mankind has brought forth. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمَ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah does not do injustice to mankind, even an iota. Rather, it's human beings who do dhulam on themselves, who do injustice upon themselves. Where does this injustice come from? When we misplace our values. When we misplace God. When we misplace the litmus test that Allah has given us, when we misplace the Prophet as the means for us to see life through, for Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, your Prophet is your best role model, because if you look through him, and you look therefore through the Quran, which is the extension of the Quran in the physical, and you look through the Ahlul Bayt, then you will know what is right and you will know what is wrong. And the minute we know that, then doing wrong will become very difficult. For example, murder is a wrong thing. If you ask the majority of the human race, you say, here's a knife, go kill this person. They'll say, no. Well, why not? You just, you know, move your hand and stab a person. It's not difficult. Here's a gun, just pull the trigger. It's just, you know, it's very easy. Say, no, I'm not going to do this. Don't even aim the gun at a person. Why not? You can do it. No, I won't do it, and I will resist it. Why are you resisting? Well, because I know its ugliness. I know it's so evil. I know the consequences of murder. I know the consequences of death, where I cannot return a person who's died. I cannot, what we say, fix the injury that I may cause, that may be even death. So I don't want to do it. So notice, the minute you and I know what is evil, and we know it with clarity, we will avoid it. For example, drugs. Drug abuse, many a times, happens because people are angry. There was a girl who was asked that question, that do you do drugs? She answered beautifully. She said, I haven't gotten angry enough yet to start. That's profound, that when a human being is asked the question, do you indulge in drugs? Do you take some kind of a hallucinogenic substance by which to feel good? And the person says, no, I have no reason to. But a lot of people are doing it. It's become very vogue, especially if you go to clubs. They're all available in vials, in tablet forms, in liquid forms, whichever one you like. It's so easy. And the person says, and what am I going to get? Oh, you're going to get this incredible high. It's going to be so euphoric that you've never gotten that feeling before. The individual who does not think of the consequences will say, okay, give it to me. But usually the one who says, give it to me, is also saying, I've got a lot of problems. My tension levels are very high, and I need you to take this away from me. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to fix myself. So give me something that gives me this illusion of having fixed it. But the wiser person says, but then what will happen to this euphoric feeling? Well, after a few minutes, after a few hours, it's going to fade away. And then what? Oh, well, then you're going to need some more. How much more? Well, a lot more. To such a degree that you'll be stuck on the street someday, overdosing and dead. Really? Today, if you look at just, you know, fentanyl, you're talking about one of the deadliest drugs on earth. And it's produced in the laboratories. Why does it even have a market? It's because mankind has rejected this litmus means and method by which to achieve tranquility and success, and is trying to take the shortcuts, thinking that if I can just indulge in the worldly matters the way the world is doing its foolishness, and I can continue to perpetuate that level of fun, what we call temporal fun, temporary fun, and then when I have a stress, I'll just go into the bar, get drunk a little bit. And if I have financial problems, I'll go to a casino hoping to triple my money or rob someone or cheat someone, borrow and then don't return, get amnesia. Or if I have a problem, I'll just pop a couple of pills and get all my pain to go away. And sadly, this misbehavior has even penetrated the professional world, where pharmacists and especially physicians are dispensing these kinds of unfortunate drugs at an alarming rate, because they're like Machiavellian thinking, who cares if this person dies as long as my bank account is getting bigger. And what's happening around us is we're losing our young generations, statistically, sometimes 6-7 in a week dying because of overdose, to such a degree that sometimes even these statistics are hidden because it's so apparent. And the question, rather than us saying, well, what can we do to put them in rehab? For rehab centers now are flourishing all across the country and the world. And rehab centers cost thousands of dollars a day, only like babysitters stopping you from taking more drugs. But you're not solving the problem. Because to get out of this addiction is a chemical dependency, where this person's physicality now has become chemically dependent on it. And if you don't give them something to counter that, they will die. So how do you make them alive? How do you keep them alive? Rather than you and I speaking at the level to say, what can we as a society do to prevent any human being from approaching these kinds of misdeeds, is really where the conversation should be.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar, Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين شاكر ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him. And he has enjoined kindness to parents. For humanity.
شیخ کاظم علی.
اعوذ بالله من الشیطان اللین الرجیم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم و بهی نستعین و صل الله علی سیدنا محمد و اهل بیته الطیبین الطاهرین. اللهم صل علی محمد و آل محمد و عجل فرجهم. I welcome you all to IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program For Humanity and we're talking about Hollywood conditioning of the subconscious mind and the extermination of human rights. I'm sure you all must have heard of Sigmund Freud. So far, what we have discussed is that how they condition the subconscious mind of human beings, and this enables them to control the choices, the free will of the human beings, which means that they are trampling the human rights of human beings on the grounds that the freedom to choose, the freedom for choice is being taken away from them. We discussed the Ivan Pavlov experiment earlier. Today, we are going to talk about Sigmund Freud and his nephew, Edward Bernays. Edward Bernays was Sigmund Freud's nephew, and he was inclined towards psychological studies. He spent some time with his uncle, Sigmund Freud, and learned some of the essentials of human behavior. And then he used these psychological discussions and psychological learnings in areas where these are really dangerous for human beings. Like I mentioned earlier, the human rights, when they were created, when they were used and they were brought to the light, they were used for the benefits of human beings. And later on, people politicized it. Later on, the governments used it for sanctions and implementing economic pressure on people. Similarly, these psychological learnings were used for controlling human beings. They were now being brought into politics and economics so that these can be used for the political benefit of the governments, and these can be used for the economic benefits of the organizations. So let me narrate this experiment that Edward Bernays conducted in America in 1940s. During the 1940s, the American cigarette industry was facing a downfall. They said, we're making more cigarettes because of the industrial revolution. Our production is really high, but our sales are really low. Why? Because 50% of the population does not use cigarette, which means only men smoke and women do not smoke. So they hired Edward Bernays, a psychologist, and told him that what is it that we can do to increase our sales? Now, this is where I want you to understand that how these people use these psychological learnings to influence our choices and take away that human right that we talk about, that we are free to choose. One of our fundamental human rights is free to choose, right? So how are they influencing our choices? And not just influencing, literally telling us what to do. And this is where you will understand that how the psychologists come into picture and influence us. So Edward Bernays was given the task of increasing the sales of cigarettes. So Edward Bernays said, okay, you know what? Give me a couple of... He reached out to rich, young, beautiful women. And he said, I need five young, rich, beautiful women. During their Independence Day parade, he brought in these good-looking women to this parade where all the youth, all the men are gathered, and all the women are gathered to watch the parade. These women get off the car, and they take out cigarettes, and they start smoking cigarettes in front of the gathering of hundreds and thousands of people. And tomorrow, in the newspaper, it is printed as Women Smoking Torches of Freedom. Women Smoking Torches of Freedom. And then this has gone out to explain that those who smoke are the ones who truly feel the freedom. They are the ones who are the carriers of the torches of freedom. And suddenly all the women in America felt the sense that, oh, if I want to show that I'm free, then I need to start smoking. If I want to show that I'm not oppressed, if I want to show that I'm not cornered in the house, I'm not a slave in the house, I need to smoke. And suddenly, within 3 months, the sales of cigarettes went up.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
So here's the point that I want to emphasize upon, that how the Western world, on one hand, talks about human rights, and on the other hand, influences us, condition us to do and behave in the way they want, right? So this is where the right to choose gets trampled, right? This is similar to what they do for the children's right. When you look at the children's cartoon system, when you look at the animations that they have in place, you will realize that they don't even care for children. They do all that for money. They do it for power. They do it for position. And that is what is important for them. Just like Fir'aun, who used to say, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, these are the guys who are using all the technology to monitor and watch children and watch their habits and design advertisements. Let me give you an example of one of the advertisements for ice creams and skitties. When they wanted to design some advertisement for ice creams and skitties, they brought in little children who were about 1.5 years, 2 years old. They got them to sit in front of TV and they played different types of advertisements for ice creams and skitties. And then they placed extremely high-tech cameras around these children to monitor these children, that the number of times they blink during the advertisement. So if an advertisement is 1.5 minutes long, how many times does the child blink during the advertisement? Not just that, but they focus the cameras on the pupils of the children to see that how do the pupils of the children dilate? How much do they dilate? How much are they focused on the advertisement? If they notice that the children blinked more often during the advertisement, they said these advertisements are useless, throw them away, let's design and come up with more advertisements. If they saw that the pupils dilated more, they knew that the children are stuck to the TV, attached to the TV, focused on it, and therefore these are good advertisements. And these advertisements were selected, and these are the ones that are presented on the TV. That's why we see that when our children are sitting in front of the TV and they're looking at it, they are so stuck to the TV that even when you call them, they don't listen to us. Inshallah, we will continue this in our next episode. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ahli baytihi tayyibina tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, we hope you enjoyed the program For Humanity. If you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
O mountains of Mecca, you were there when the Prophet Muhammad climbed down in despair. Engraved in his heart were the words of his Lord. To all of mankind, this was his call. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. O people, praise only Allah. Glorify Allah. Mountains of Mecca, bear witness that I to the oneness of Allah do I testify. For all that He's given me, how can I deny? My purpose in life should be only to cry. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no God but Allah. Muhammad is his messenger.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. This is Habibullah Fasihizada with the Let's Recite the Holy Quran, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools Network. This is a great time that we are having again some of our friends from Xavier International School.
Except for one.
Yeah, students. Three of our friends from Xavier International School here. So they've joined us to help us hold these Quranic sessions. We are back, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. Thanks for being with us again. We want to practice and continue Surah Al-Duha, where we were practicing Dagger Alif, Maqsoor Alif, and the complete Alif, right? So inshallah, let's go and practice this Surah. Then we will go and learn a new lesson, which will be very, very influential in reciting the Holy Quran, inshallah. So, Surah Al-Duha, I will be reciting, and our friends here, they will be repeating after me. And as you hear us, please repeat, okay? To master this surah as well and also learn those rules. Next ayah.
أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى.
Two.
Yeah,
أَلَمْ.
أَلَمْ
يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا.
Is there any other
talking?
Oh,
no, that's something else.
So how many do we have, Mahdi?
1 minute. So
yeah. We have what? أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. يَتِيمًا. What is it?
يَيْمَدِي.
Good. Next one. فَآوَى.
فَآوَى.
One. Wa. Two. فَآوَى. Great.
Two?
MashaAllah. Yeah, two we have.
In this?
Yes. Wa.
Here in the other ayah?
Mahdi, the first one. فَآوَى. The first one is Dagger Alif or Maqsoor Alif or Complete Alif. The first one.
No. Wait. There is no. I don't see any.
Okay, let me read. Look. Listen to me. Fa'awa. So what? What alif? We have to alif madi, right?
Wait. Yeah. Alif madi. I don't see it.
There's see Hamza.
Do you see
like Hamza and
so the first one?
Yeah, alif.
Yeah, the first one is the complete alif. Because we have alif, not dagger alif, not right. maksur alif. But the second one, wa, we have
wa.
Dagger alif or maksur alif?
Dagger. I mean, no, alif maksura.
Alif maksura. Okay, great.
Okay, sir, here
maksura is your friend, okay?
And the other ayah?
Think of it.
Sir, can I keep the other ayah?
Next, yeah, read.
Okay, here.
Read the whole ayah. No, wa wajadaka. Look.
Wa wajadaka dha'ilan.
No.
No, big it, make it bigger.
Wa dha'ilan.
No. Ilan, we don't have A. Wa wajadaka dha'ilan.
Yes, here. I can explain the dha'ilan because.
Okay, explain.
Because you see here, the dha, there's an alif with the dha, so there's dha alif. And also the alif, it's a alif maddi because there's a mad.
Great.
On the alif, and there's also a kasra. I mean, no, not a kasra, a fatha. So it's va len, va len.
Great. We prolong the sound.
And there's also a tajdid on the la, and there's also on top of the tajdid there's a fatatain. Yes.
So then we.
So it's va len.
So if you stop here, how do you say?
If I just stop at the val.
Dallan. If you stop here. Min Hussein, if you stop here, how do you say? How do you read? Oh, you forgot. In Tanwin we studied. If it is Tanwin Fatha, okay, when you want to stop at Tanwin Fatha, if there is one Aleph, you change it to Aleph.
No.
How do you read it? So how read this ayah. Stop at dhallan. Stop there. Make a pause.
Wajadaka
dhalla. If you pause. But you don't have to pause because the meaning changes, okay?
Yeah.
You have to read it. Connect it.
Without the tajdeed, it would be
wadhalla. Okay, now if you connect, you connect it, okay? Do ikhfa, inshallah, you'll study. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًّا فَهَدَى. So we have one alif maddi.
Yeah, one alif.
Okay. And next alif maddi mahdi. فَهَدَى.
So like because there's a fa, ha, and a da, and they're all fathat. So
look. We don't care about the other harakat. The harakat which is before alif.
Oh, so if they
only
die,
though.
We don't care.
Huh?
So if they die, we don't care.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
The next ayah, how do you read?
وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى.
أحسن. Tell us.
There's a little
this.
Bit of a problem.
So
it's وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا.
So explain, where is the alif maddi? How many alif maddi do we have?
Just one, and is فَأَغْنَى.
فَأَغْنَى, only one?
No, we have
Do you need my eyes to look with?
Okay.
If you stop عَائِلًا, if you stop, how do you say? Stop here. Change it to
ila.
وَوَجَدَكَ
عَائِلًا.
If you connect, the alif maddi will be removed. Okay. So how many alif maddi? Okay, great. Next, now.
It's his turn.
Okay, Min Hal Hussein, read the next ayah. Ahsan. So, do we let him talk? Do we have alif maddi, yai maddi, waw maddi here?
Let me see.
If you need more eyes, I will give you my eyes.
I think we don't have.
Minhal.
Okay, he thinks we don't have.
We have three.
Oh, no, no, no. Pay attention. If we have alif, it does not mean we have alif maddi. Look at the reading.
Okay.
We don't have any alif maddi.
Oh, we have one.
We have three alif, but we don't have alif maddi here. Okay, because we join all of them.
Oh, yes, two. We have two.
No, we don't have.
We have two. We have
alif maddi we don't have here. If we stop at fa'amma, we have. But yeah, we don't stop.
Fala.
Oh,
poor
Ben Hall,
I got the shortest ayah. Okay. Sir Ben Hall got the shortest ayah.
I made a mistake. Yateeman. No, not that much
yateeman. Yateeman.
Okay, we have, Ben Hall, and we have one alif maddi, one?
Fala. Fala.
Yay maddi.
Yay maddi and alif maddi.
Okay, fala. Fa'ammal yateeman, right? Yateeman. Yay maddi. And فلا تقهر ألف مدي. Next ayah Mahdi.
Okay. So وأما السائل فلا تنهر.
Okay.
وأم it's there's a ألف.
No.
Two.
Look.
No, it's I'm not. Just
two ألف.
One thing.
تشديد.
One thing. Listen up.
It's مشكل.
Mahdi, when you read it, look. Do you have any longer sound? وأما السائل فلا تنهر.
وأما
سا and فلا. Oh, سا
and فلا.
Sorry. وأما فلا.
فلا.
وأما السائل.
Okay, one.
One ألف.
And سا.
Okay, it's my turn to explain, not yours. وأما السائل. Because there's an ألف and there's a مد. It's a ألف مدي.
Okay.
وأما السائل فلا.
فلا is again.
Yes, فلا تنهر.
Okay, thank you so much. Now.
And I don't know how I read that word.
Hadi.
وأما وأمد بنعمة ربك فحدث.
So can I fix his mistakes?
وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث.
أحدث.
So can I just read the ayah for him?
Yeah.
No, me.
وأما بنعمتك فر. وأما بنعمتك وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث.
You're now embarrassed.
Okay. So.
Do I read?
No, Hadi, tell us, no? Come on, tell us.
Sir, I'm just
Alif Maddi, do we have?
No, Alif Maddi, we don't have.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Wa amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith.
Amma.
You say amma, you produced a longer sound, but you say no.
No, amma, no. I said don't say long.
Amma. Oh,
no. Amma.
No. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَتِ If it was not longer sound, you would say وَأَمَّا. وَأَمَّا. We say وَأَمَّا. فَتْحَ after فَتْحَ أَلِف. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. This ayah finished. Now, one more thing. I will tell you. This is our new lesson, okay? Look. If you have ya. If you have ya. Ya is sakin. But before ya. If you have kasra, that's ya maddi. But if you have fatha, that is ya. We call it lean ya.
Yeah.
Lean ya. Fatha, then ya. If you have kasra, then ya. What do you call it?
Ya
maddi. Maddi. If it is fatha, then ya.
Lean maddi.
Lean maddi.
Lean
maddi.
No.
Ya lean. Or lean ya. Lean ya is pronounced like this.
Can we practice Surah Al-Baqarah?
Smoothly you come down from the mountain like this.
Ay.
Bay.
Okay, now
let's practice. Look, read the next ayah, the second ayah of Surah Al-Duha, Mahdi. Okay, great. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى MashaAllah.
وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى.
Okay, I want you to practice Hadi. Alif with ya, then ba with ya, fatha. Alif, ba, ta, they have fatha, then ya sakin. Okay, read them.
Ayn.
Bayn. Okay.
Bayn.
Bayn, no, tay.
Bayn.
Okay.
Bayn. Bayn.
Okay, cough with ya. Long with ya, noon with ya. Do not do the main. Okay. So now let's read some words. Okay, I will read. Repeat after me some words. Okay, five words. We'll practice. Then we'll go inshallah for the next session. Number one. Repeat with me. عين.
عين.
Look, which means the sound of I, okay?
Which is an I.
Okay.
An
I. Okay, an I. Mr. I. Mr. I. Mr. I. كيف.
كيف means how.
Do not say كيف.
كيف.
كيف نيست, okay? There is no كيف.
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 Okay, every single word you